Well, thank you, Mr. DeGrossier, and good afternoon, everyone. What a nice full house today. Nice to see this. See everybody. If anybody needs an offering envelope, please raise your hand and one of the ushers will provide one to you. Be sure to include your complete name and address in the space provided. If you have your index number, that would also be very helpful. And the festival location is Midland, and today's date is October 17th. And likewise, if you are making an electronic donation, we do need your index number as well for that, and or your complete address in order to be received. And it would also be helpful if you indicate that this is an FOP offering, Feast of the Tabernacles. Those at the national office who are processing the offerings after the feast appreciate your assistance in these matters. What is our thought process when it comes to our offerings? Hopefully there is some thought that goes into our giving. What do we think about as we prepare our offerings? Are we thinking about the little things? The concept of this message is based on a true story, a story that has been used in managerial training course for many, many years. It was a simple yet ingenious concept. Many people have interesting, perhaps eclectic, or sometimes eccentric tastes. Entertainers generally have been interesting characteristics, an interesting group of people. Some are more eclectic or eccentric than others. Some are more interesting than others. But those factors contribute to some interesting requests. And those requests have been considered frivolous at times. At other times, well, just seemingly unreasonable. Over the years, many entertainers have incorporated conditions as part of their performance contracts. These conditions are known as riders. And there's nothing unusual about having riders under the umbrella of the principal contract. In fact, riders are quite common. Now, having said that, some of the riders are more unusual than others. And depending on the exact details as spelled out in those riders, failure to adhere to any of the conditions, including all the other clauses of the contract, could result in the cancellation of a particular event. It could be a television show, it could be a movie or a music concert, for example. Most of the riders are pretty straightforward. Nothing really untoward about them. They would spell out such things as the stage construction, the lighting, the audio requirements for the performance. Riders would also detail the security arrangements that would need to be made. Many very specific details will be incorporated into the riders and the contract itself. And again, this is quite typical. If the promoter or the organizer of the event, for example, failed to fulfill all of the requirements or the clauses of the contract, including the riders, the performers actually have the right to cancel their concert. And that will all be part of the contract as well. If the performance was canceled, the promoters and the organizer would still be out. They stand to lose up to millions of dollars, since the performers would be paid regardless of whether their show went on or not. Occasionally, if the entertainer had a big enough name, he or she might make some seemingly unusual demands as part of the contract. These demands would become a rider, part of a rider, and incorporated into the principal contract. In any event, some would see these demands as a sense of entitlement, frivolous, excessive, or just, we can do it because we can. For example, an entertainer might demand that a certain type of bottled water be provided. The rider would spell out what brand of the bottled water would be, how much water was to be supplied, and where it was to be located, where it was to be placed. And there's a true story about a member of the musical group who made one demand that seemed frivolous and unnecessary and smacked of entitlement. It was viewed as being, typically a wild demand from a group of people that were seen as being entitled because of their popularity at the time. On a closer inspection, the particular demand was anything but frivolous. few people saw the genius behind the concept. This particular story was set in the early 1980s, about 40 years ago. Many of us were in this room, probably weren't even born yet. The musical group that are the subject of this message were gaining popularity and mainly saw this demand as being typically excessive and a simply request that, you know, because the group could do so. And many saw the seemingly ridiculous request or demand as a bit of self-indulgence. There was no apparent or rational reason for making that particular demand. It was a little thing. The story goes that the lead singer of that group, which shall remain nameless, decided to add a small rider to their contract with a certain promoter. If you're wondering about the name of this particular musical group, founding member, and thus the name of the group, died a few years ago, and he has a Dutch surname. Those are the only clues I'm going to give. But this particular group was different than most of the groups at the time. When they put on a concert, there was so much equipment that they brought along. Where most other groups would fill three tractor trailers full of equipment, this particular group had about three times as much. And up to nine tractor trailers filled with equipment and supplies. The equipment that needed to be set up in each concert venue was bulky, it was heavy, it was cumbersome, and required very, very specific details as to how it should be assembled and how it should be put together successfully and safely. The contract specified the weight of the equipment and where it was to be placed on the stage or above the stage. There were specifications about the stage itself, how much weight it would need to hold, and where the stage was going to be set up, among other things. And the stage and the overhead mounts had to be strong enough to support the weight of all the equipment. If these things were assembled incorrectly or improperly, the stage could collapse, or the overhead lighting, sound equipment could collapse, injuring or killing performers or others at the concert. And similar events have occurred in the past. So this particular group did not want a repeat along with the notoriety that went along with it. So all the necessary details were spelled out in the contract and the riders. The promoters and organizers of the concert were responsible for making sure that all details, every detail, as specified, was in compliance with the contract and as riders. And the lead singer of this particular group decided to add a small item to one of the riders. It was buried, but at the same time, it was hidden in plain sight in the munchies section of the rider. The munchies section of the rider included such things as potato chips and assorted nuts, dips, and pretzels. And the next line was M&M's. And they specified no brown M&M's. That was an uppercase, underlined, bold, no brown M&M's. Why? What did that have to do with it? Well, that small item was added. It was almost like an afterthought when you look at the writer and the contract. It was almost, he just decided that, okay, you know what, let's just throw something in here just because we can. And on the surface, that seemed frivolous and unnecessary. And again, it smacked of entitlement because this particular group simply could make such demands. So what did the group have against brown M&M's? It was seen as a self-indulgent demand simply because of the group's popularity. They did it for no other reason than because we can. And there might have been some truth to that. But there was a much bigger underlying reason for adding that rider. It was a simple yet ingenious request that had a real and vital purpose. If during the process of setting up the venue in preparation for the concert, any members of that particular group found these brown M&Ms, that would set off an alarm. So they would go through the contract, line by line by line by line, checking every specification to see if it was in compliance. They made sure that the lighting was set up according to the contract. They made sure the stage was constructed according to the contract. They made sure that every detail was looked after, every little thing. They checked the sound equipment to make sure it was set up as specified. They went over every detail. So the reason for adding the no brown M&Ms was very simple, yet ingenious. It was done to see if the concert promoters and the organizers had actually read the contract and understood the contract, including the writers in their entirety. If these brown M&Ms were found backstage, a very small detail, the group wondered what other details, large or small, might have been overlooked or missing. So after all, with all their massive equipment and technical requirements, they did not want a disaster to occur at their concert. They didn't want a little thing to become a big thing. And that actually did happen at another venue. The stage collapsed because it was not constructed according to the contract. Shortcuts were taken, resulting in serious consequences. The little brown M&Ms were an example of a little thing. So how faithful are we in little things? At this point, I'd like to ask the choir to start assembling as they have been instructed. So let's look at one verse in the parable of the 10 minas that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 17. Luke chapter 19 and verse 17. Luke 19, verse 17. Jesus speaking, he said, "And he said to him, 'Well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities.'" In this parable, Jesus was teaching about a certain ruler who had 10 of servants, 10 minas, so one mina each. The King James Version used the word pound, but it was money. And each of those servants was to engage in business, as the English Standard Version states, and then report back to the king after a certain period of time, and he returned. And they were basically to buy, to sell, and to trade. The servant referred to in verse 17 reported that his one mina had grown to 10. He was called faithful in a very little. Does that apply to us? How faithful are we in the little things? What do we think about when we prepare our offerings? What is our thought process? Do we see our offerings as a little thing? After all, it's only 7 times a year that we give special offerings, and this is one of those times. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. Very familiar scripture to many of us. 3 times or 3 seasons in the year, all your male shall appear before the Lord your God in the place that he will choose. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is typically early spring. At the Feast of Weeks, which typically mid to late spring. And at the Feast of Booths, where we are now, in the fall. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So let's not let our giving offerings become a little thing. Let's think about our offerings. And let's remember the lesson of the brown M&Ms. As the offering is being taken up today, there will be special offertory music. The title is "Creation Will Be at Peace." It is based on Isaiah 11. Music is by Anna Page, presented by the Midland Festival Choir, and accompanied by Kevin Ford on the piano.